Many of you know that I grew up as a Roman Catholic, and I became very familiar as an altar boy with the part of the Mass. I had to originally learn Latin. Yes, I'm that old. It was before the Second Vatican Council when Latin was the Mass, and then when it changed to English, a part of the service spoke to me just before Holy Communion. You know, in our service, we say, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. These are the words that the priest says during the Catholic Mass. He says, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Happy are those who are called to his supper. Now, we happen to sing about the Lamb of God, but the response of the people is very telling. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed. These humbling words remind me that Jesus is the only means of salvation, mine and yours, and that just as during creation, his word is all-encompassing, all-healing, and all-forgiving. That was the message yesterday at Sue Barfield's funeral. Sue, as all of you, earnestly believed in the red letters, but that Jesus' words, the red letters as marked in the Bible, you can take to the bank. They are unaltered, unadulterated truth. And that when Jesus said on the night before he died, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That is the truth. Again, his word is all-encompassing, all-healing, and all-forgiving. The only humble response enough to be fitting to Jesus' invitation is to accept. True, we are not worthy. Yet through an act of Jesus' grace and mercy, we are made suitable to receive his real presence. In today's Holy Gospel from Luke chapter 7, and also recorded, by the way, in Matthew chapter 8, we find true humility in a person of non-Jewish faith, a Gentile, a Roman centurion who highly valued his servant, and is saddened because his servant is near death. Based on what he does, it is clear that the centurion really cares for this servant. Now, the role of a centurion in the Roman army was as an officer, leading at least 100 men and possibly a legion. They were most definitely familiar with authority structures, giving and receiving respect. In each of our lives, there are always people that we respect. In our places of business, there are people whose decisions we accept and go along with, and whose instructions or even orders we obediently carry out. But we can then make the huge mistake of thinking that God's authority is like those we encounter in our lives. We run the risk sometimes of trying to minimize God's power and authority. We try to put God in our box so that we can try to figure out just how big he is. But remember, he's bigger than the universe. If we see God's authority in Jesus Christ any less than absolute, than that of a military officer, we are, according to this scripture passage, not only mistaken, but lacking faith itself. We cannot limit God's authority. The heart of this account that we just heard is not the healing of the servant. Of course, it's very, very important, because without it, there'd be no reason for the centurion to seek out Jesus. But it's just the means for what God wants us to see. What truly matters is the centurion's faith. Here he was, a ranking military officer, stationed in Capernaum, where Jesus had made his home base and where Peter lived. And ironically, right after this gospel lesson, Jesus goes to Peter's house and heals his mother-in-law. So isn't it amazing how everything ties together? Jesus is in Capernaum. And we are told that this man cared so much about the city in which he lived that he helped to build, if not built, the synagogue. Now, part of that synagogue stands today, with the base, and then built on it was the 4th century synagogue built on top of it, in which we've been to twice. It's truly amazing to think that here was a man, a non-Jew, giving of himself for Yahweh's people. This centurion would probably be receiving orders on a regular basis from his commanding officer, who was most likely in Caesarea, about 50 miles away on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. His soldiers were probably performing peacekeeping. They were like police officers. And there are accounts, like from Josephus, the famed historian, who tells of soldiers in that position seeing the local people as inferior. But this man didn't. He honored their traditions, and he honored them as a people. He had come to love and respect the Jewish people, and even paid, as I mentioned, for the building of the local synagogue. Here was a humble Gentile looking at Israel and the God of Israel and apparently liking what he was seeing and opening himself to learning new truth from this ancient way of life. Luke emphasizes the centurion's respect and humility, sending two groups of messengers to speak to Jesus. Jesus is amazed at the second message. We read time after time in the Gospels where Jesus does and says things that amaze people. And this is one of the few places in the Gospel where Jesus himself is amazed. Jesus is amazed at the sheer quality of this man's faith. The faith is simple. The simple, clear belief that when Jesus commands that something be done, it will be done. He's treating Jesus like a superior officer who has the authority over sickness and health. He believes that if Jesus says that someone is to get well, they will. It's that simple, right? We don't know where he got his faith from. We don't know. If he had lived in Capernaum for a while, he probably heard of Jesus and might have even seen him perform miraculous cures and casting out of demons. He may have witnessed that Jesus had an incredible power. And he looked at Jesus and was prepared to risk more than any Jews had done, and declaring that God was at work in this man, Jesus of Nazareth. This man, the centurion, had grasped the very center of the Jewish faith, that the one true God, the God of Israel, was the sovereign one, the Lord of heaven and earth. The incredible thing is that he understood that this one true God was personally present and active in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. We can see this man as a model for all those non-Jews who will come to faith to share the blessings of healing and salvation that can only come from Jesus himself. The man has a faith that Jesus hasn't found even among his own people. Faith is defined here as something much more specific, recognizing that Jesus possesses authority. Faith like that brings its own reward. And as he believed, so it happens. I must say to you today that I have seen and witnessed God's working through his people and the faith of his people to deliver healings to those who believe that God wants to heal his people. Back in 1971, on July 27th, My father had surgery on his leg. He had an aneurysm, and they did a bypass. And because he had had heart problems from the time that he was a youth, they put him in the ICU. That day is my mother's birthday. And my mother went by herself over to Mercy Hospital to visit my father. And as she walked into the ICU, the alarms went off. And people were running, and she said, "What's happened?" Somebody said, "This old guy in the back died." The old guy in the back was my father. And they gathered around him. They asked her to leave as everyone else. They gathered around him, and we prayed. And my father was restored to life. But the doctor met with us that day and told us that he was going to have to leave Long Island and go to Cleveland, to the Cleveland Clinic, to have multiple bypass surgeries on his heart. And so we prayed like we've never prayed before as a family. And 3 days later, the doctor met with us again and said, "I can't understand this. I can't explain it. But there is now no problem with your father's heart. Forget about Cleveland. It's pumping and beating and processing normally." God answered prayers. Again, God wants to heal his people. Back in 1999, I could barely use my right leg. I had had a hip replacement in my right leg. There was some serious nerve damage. I had had 7 epidurals, none of which worked, for more than a few weeks. And so we went on a trip with our family to Israel. And I knew my limitations, that I wouldn't be able to go to places because I could barely climb steps. The night before we left the Galilee to go south towards the Dead Sea, we met on the shore of the Galilee, and we prayed and sang songs of worship. "Lord, I lift your name on high," and other songs that just glorified God. And somebody said, "There's somebody here that we need to pray for." And he got up and he came over to me and he laid hands on my shoulder. And soon everybody of the nearly 40 people that were on this trip came and laid hands on me and prayed. And it was during this time that I knew that somehow I was going to be healed. The very next day, our second stop was at the Jordan River, at the traditional baptism place called Yardanit. Marilyn and I got the white gowns and we went into the water. Our kids didn't want to do that. Marilyn went under and she came back up, and next it was my turn. When I went under and came back up, everybody and everything was bathed in a white light. And my leg started to burn, went numb, and the pain has been gone ever since. And continues to be gone in that type of pain in that leg. I was prayed over, and I knew that God's healing would be real. I witnessed a priest gather with fellow believers to release a troubling spirit from a young lady. And her life was changed forever, free from that spirit, because of the faith of her and the people that were present. During a healing service, I prayed along with a man's children for their father, who was told that he was going to lose his right foot. We laid hands on him and could feel the swelling relieved almost instantaneously. The man was healed completely by God through faith, his faith, and ours as well. And that man now practices lacrosse with his son. God is so good. At a youth revival in December, shortly after Christmas, in Niagara Falls, New York, at this youth festival called Joshua Revolution, I was asked as one of the local pastors to be on the prayer team. And people would come up and ask to be prayed for, and we'd gather and pray. And this young man came up on crutches, and several of his friends came with him. He had injured his knee. This was a swimmer. who loved to compete, he tearfully asked that Jesus would take away his pain and fix his knee. I had him sit down, and I asked him permission if I could put my hands on his knee. And others put their hands on his shoulders. This knee was not pretty. I've seen some ugly knees, and this was not good. But as we prayed for him, the knee began to change. Something was going on inside that knee. You could feel the swelling reduce. And he started to cry with joy. And here's the best part. The very next morning, after breakfast, he was without his crutches, and he was actually running in the auditorium. God loves to heal those who believe in him. I don't for one minute think that I have any power, but I was blessed to be a witness to the power of Almighty God working through the faith of his people. So let me ask you this. What does it mean to recognize and submit to the authority of Jesus? What does it mean to call him Lord and live by that? Faith means believing that the living God has entrusted his authority to his Son, Jesus Christ, who is now exercising it for the salvation of the world. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. In each of these cases, Jesus rewarded the believer who knew that they knew that they knew that God would work a wonder in their lives. That day in Capernaum, Jesus knew that believing Gentiles would soon be grafted in to the kingdom of God, and he saw this man's faith as an advanced sign of it happening. Romans 11:17 speaks of believers, Gentiles, being grafted into the root of Jesse, Jesse being the father of David. The believing Gentiles would be joined with the patriarchs, the great ancestors of Israel, as adopted sons of God, joining with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as the scriptures had foretold, by a great multitude from around the world. Jesus also knew that many of God's chosen people, unfortunately, would refuse to believe. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was sent into the world for the people of the world, and he wants all people to come to faith. How awesome to see the example through the faith of this centurion. His servant was healed and made well. And may I close now with the words from today's Holy Gospel. This word from the centurion. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.